Hey, hey, welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. So glad to have you with us today. You can learn more on our website, fairmountfriends.church, or find our church app on Tithely. Let's go.
College students are either in bed, or maybe they're curled up around the porcelain on a Sunday morning. And we had a group that was in here leading us in worship. Whether it was your preference of volume or style, they wanted to be here. And I believe that we as a church family have enough maturity and we can handle it to be able to say, yeah, let's worship together. Let's do this thing together. And there is space and there is room for any and all to come in and to give their gifting before the Lord. Yesterday, Alyssa and I, we went to Taylor and we got to watch a Taylor lacrosse game. We've got a few of those girls here today. So Sarah, Gwen, and Jordan. Would y'all stand real quick? Has anybody ever seen a lacrosse match? You kind of need to like have some toughness. Like they hit each other with their sticks and they come across. Gwen got popped in the face, right? And these girls are some of the toughest girls, and I think these girls could probably wipe out all of these guys right here. And all of them scored. The score, I think we had five, right? And all three of these girls scored, and multiple times. It was awesome to see. We got some studs right here in lacrosse, so yeah, come on. It was fun. Is it the same as field hockey? Yeah, I didn't think so. So, yeah, they don't have nets on the end of their sticks. On the ground, and you play in the air. Yeah, that's why it's lacrosse. It was a blast to watch. This morning, we're going to continue on our series about being in a new season of life, and even as we look outside and spring is here, and we're planting seed and we're turning up the soil, we're in a three-part series: seed, soil, and seasons. And seeing how God is bringing us as a church family into a new season, it's a new day. And there's a lot of new life that is growing. And there's a great passage of scripture in Mark chapter 4 where it speaks to the condition of the soil. This idea of soil is something that was really taught to me from my pastor, Ron Johnson, as he really spoke to the importance of soil, meaning our heart and our mind, the ability to receive the word of God whenever it comes to us, as well as a message from Marty Solomon, who speaks on this parable of the soil. So if you've got your Bibles, you can flip with me to Mark chapter 4, or I'll have the verses here on the screen. Chapter 4, verse 1. It says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and he set in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, listen, exclamation point. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and they ate it up. As we read through this, please pay attention to all the different kinds of seed or of soil. Some seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, But those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. What a fascinating response. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness and of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, they hear the word, they accept it, and they produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. One of the reasons that I love that Jesus speaks in parables, and parables are simply telling stories. And Jesus is telling stories, and he's likening real life unto what the kingdom of God, Zach, what's up? And, oh, I see Zach, but are you here all the way from Chile?
Yes, Italy.
Italy?
Yes.
From Italy. Who came farther than Italy? I like seeing you, man. And you dyed your hair.
Yes.
It's whatever. Zach, I like seeing you. And you were here last week, but I didn't see you. I mean, I saw you. That's how I knew you were here last week. But I didn't say hey to you. But I'm glad that you guys both are here. Oh, my gosh. I just want to, like, look at you guys. One of the reasons that I like parables is they're telling stories. And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus says he never taught anything without talking to them in parables. So Jesus is always telling stories. I believe that Jesus was the master storyteller. He has the great hook, and he sets up the story, and he's pulling them in. He's got the whole kind of setup of where this thing is going. And what he's doing here is he's actually doing what a rabbinical, that means the rabbi way of teaching would have been, setting them up in this four-part kind of understanding, or there's four different learners, and he talks about four different soils that are here. In our day and age, the language would have been like, there's four different kinds of people, or there's the DISC test, or there's what's your number on the Enneagram, or whatever, you know, he's trying to like see who you are, and what's going on your inner life, what's the heart and the mind, the way that you think, how do you receive, how are you producing this sort of fruit in your life. And so Jesus is telling this story, and most people would have been like, oh yeah, I've seen this before. I see what he's doing here. I see how he's setting this whole story up. It would have been pretty familiar way of teaching for them to have this sort of teaching that comes. So here's the parable of the sowers, what the Bible calls it, or whatever the editors of putting these together have put that banner over it. But I believe that it speaks not to just the sower specifically, but maybe a little bit more, that the changing variable in all of this would be the soil. Perhaps it's the parable of the soil. We know that the sower is God, and he is releasing the word of God. He's the planter, and perhaps sometimes we hear it that we're the ones that are the sower, and we're the ones that are planting the seed, and some people are going to listen to you, and some people aren't, and some people will receive it, and we can apply it to that, but Jesus is being very specific here, that there is that he's the farmer, or that God is the farmer, and he's planting the word of God, and Jesus is the word that he's planting here into the earth. And so here's the soil that we're talking about that I want to dive into a little bit more. As Jesus is setting this up, and he kind of does this four-part teaching tool of a setup, they would talk about these four different learners, whether it was the Talmud or it was the Mishnah or these different times when we would read scripture. But this rabbinical style is how we see this. The common template here is this, and I want to show you a little picture. Is these four different kinds of learners will be the sponge, the funnel, the strainer, and the sieve, and I've got them here with me, okay? Here's the different kinds of learners that we have that Jesus would be speaking to, or they would have an understanding of in that day. The sponge is the kind of person that can absorb and that is takes everything in, that sucks it all in, eats it all up, is hungry. What I love about my life group with the Taylor guys, they show up hungry and they lean in and they're taking notes, mostly taking notes at 7 a.m. Thursday mornings. They're up and they're at it. Each Thursday we show up and we're in their living room and they're hungry and they're ready. I love being with young 20s that just have that they lean in, they sit on the edge of their seat, they never let their back hit the backrest. They're like, oh, I'm leaning. They posture their spirits and their hearts in such a way that they're so receptive. And they suck it all up. That's the sponge. They take in everything. Good, bad, maybe they take all the good stuff in, and maybe they even take in too much stuff along the way. Then we see something else, that we see this funnel. As I was looking at the funnel that I had in my garage, I realized that I really need to clean this thing out before I either change oil or pour in gasoline, because this thing was nasty. And maybe that's why we have a couple four-wheelers that won't start. But you want your funnel clean, right? But here's what happens as the funnel sort of a learner. Is you can get a lot of information and a lot of teaching, and you can funnel that information through. However, it doesn't retain a whole lot. Anybody remember in high school whenever the teacher would say, tomorrow we have a test, so today is review, and we're going to go over the review. So we put everything up on the board, and you're trying to memorize the thing. If you can just memorize this thing for 24 hours, and then move on, and then memorize this one for 24 hours, and then funnel it through. And I may not even retain it. The goal is not even to retain. The goal is to pass the test. Anybody else with me? Sometimes you may even approach church that way. Is I just need something to come through, just to blow out the cobwebs in the wind, and just kind of just give me a little bit of motivation so I can get through the week. Pastor, I need you to help me get through the week. I don't really want to like retain it and to grow and to really be buried and gain roots inside of my heart. But I need some sort of a motivation and a little pick-me-up just to get me through. Can you just funnel some stuff through me real quick? I won't hold on to any of it, but it'll help me get to where I need to go. That's what I've done. Honestly, sometimes that's what I do to teach the next lesson, to prepare the next sermon, to do the next deals. Like, I got to get through this one, whether I even know it or not. I just need to get through it, whether I retain it or not. I just got to get through the next one. There's sometimes in the mornings I do not want to work out because that discipline hasn't taken root inside of me. So I know myself enough to hack the game, and I need to funnel some motivation through me. And so I'll watch like a motivational video, and I'm like, oh, okay, all right, here we go. And it's not retaining, it's not changing me, it's not really taking a root inside of me, but it is just helping get me through. That's another type of a learner, is we just get some information through us. Then we see the strainer. This is a strainer. Right here, if you're doing some pasta, you throw some pasta in here and some leaves. They take in everything. We take in everything, and you're trying to strain out some of the bad. You try to let some of the bad run out. Obviously, there's still something else that was in there. But in this strainer, the idea is to get out what you don't necessarily want. And there's big chunks of that. And so there's part of the learner that starts to mature a little bit. And it's like, you know what? I just don't need to only be the sponge and take in all of the good and all of the bad. The sponge just kind of takes it in. The sponge is almost like this. It's a little bit of Buddha. It's a little bit of Jehovah. It's a little bit of Oprah. Like, if we can put all of those together, mix them around, and then I'll just take it all in, and that will be my mindset. A little astronomy, a little astrology. I'll read my horoscope. It's all truth. I'm just kind of learning. Everything is good, and we just bring it all in. That's the sponge, and it's hungry, and it gets a lot of stuff in, but it's not always good. Then there's a strainer, and we start getting rid of some of that bad. The next one is a sieve, and it has a mesh. It has a mesh lining to it and tiny, tiny little holes that say we need to go to the next level and we need to like microscopically go through this thing by detail as we're letting the bad out. It's the mature brain. It's been matured. It runs through. It makes sure. It rehashes, it understands, it doesn't just absorb and it doesn't just pass through quickly, it holds it for a minute and then it lets it go through. And perhaps you've done something like that in your life, and as you're looking, maybe you're like, I'm a little bit of all of them, I'm a little bit of all of them as well. I'm just like, take as much as I can, pass as much as I can, hold it a little bit, let it go. It's a little bit of all of it, but ultimately, there's this fourth learner is the sieve that we would want to be. And I want to encourage you guys that we would move our ability to receive the Word of God in a way that we would really hold it for a minute. That it would sit in here. And whether that's in a book, it's a podcast, it's a teaching, it's me preaching, teaching, it's one of your life group leaders, you're in a discipleship, it's men's group, women's group, it's something, but you would let it sit and hold it. And hopefully hold all of the good. And then it begins to sieve or to sift out some of the things that are the bad. So let's just ask this question. Are you the sponge learner? Any sponge learners out there? Nobody. Nobody tries to consume as much. Thanks, John. It's me and John. Okay, Jessica. I don't want to talk you into it if you don't like receiving information, but I will, man. I'll read and read and read about everything while I'm listening to a podcast, while I'm listening, like nonstop. I just want to consume. Anybody a funnel? I just need something just to get through me. I need to just, maybe it's just prep for a meeting real quick. I don't really know the stuff, but I just got to get it in and out. Boom. I just got the funnel guy. Anybody a funnel motivator or worker outer? Okay. Anybody come to church with a funnel? It's like, I don't really retain much, but I just need you to help get me through. Anybody? Anybody, then we grow a little bit. Anybody you can kind of connect with. I'm a little bit more like the, what did I call this one? Yeah, it's a strainer. I was straining to think what that one was. Anybody, a strainer. Hey, I'm growing a little bit more. I'll hold it a little bit longer, but also, man, there's a lot of stuff that kind of passes through. Okay, and then the sieve. Davis says, I like that you're close. It's good to see you. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You guys are moving around on me. And then the sieve. I want to hold it for a minute and let this thing sit inside of me. The point of this parable is we want to start getting down into the soil, okay? And as we see these four different types of learners, we see these four different types of soils. Last week, I showed this soil that we were planting on our church retreat, and we put some seed in here. And here's our soil, and we've got some cucumbers, some peppers, some carrots. It looks like we need to also plant some water inside of there and some vitamin D, and we want to see what's going to take place whenever seed takes root inside of good soil. Here's the four kinds of soil that we see. The seed that falls on the hard path. There's a hard path. The evil one comes and snatches it away. The hard heart. Maybe it's coming into church and it's like, you know what, you can say whatever you want to up there, man. But I'm sitting back judging God and I'm grading his paper right now. And there ain't a whole lot of stuff that you can tell me. I am hard. Not interested in showing that I'm excited or have joy. Not interested in really worshiping him. I'm hard. It's cold in here. It's a little icy, a little frigid. And you can say whatever you want to, but the wind is just going to blow it away. The birds are going to eat it up. It's not going to land on any softness inside of here. Maybe we've been burned and we've been ripped off. We feel like somebody else has hurt us along the way. And that hard wall just goes up. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's the mind. And the mind is just a hard place for faith to grow because you're so factual and it's awesome. You want it to really make sense, but in the process of you want it to be factual and historic and A plus B equals C. And 1 + 1 = 2. And if it doesn't, sometimes in faith, 1 + 1 = 11. You're like, I don't know how that just worked. Like, whoa, that was supernatural. The mind, it just becomes really hard when everything has to be precision for it to really move into a place of faith. So it's a hard place. Number two, he talks about the rocks, which the understanding does not get depth. It says that when it falls onto the rocks, it takes no roots. And when hardships come, it falls away. Maybe there's even been times when you've received some seed. You've received the word of God. You've gotten into a church family to some degree. Maybe it's you've checked out a life group or a men's group. And there's some possibility of some seed coming in. But then you get sideswiped by life and some hardships come. And just like the winds that would blow, those seeds just take off. And something got you knocked off kilter. And I don't trust church. I don't trust pastors. I don't trust God. It's been hard. I've been hurt by. Or I thought marriage was supposed to be, and that was rough. That's left me so disillusioned. And the hardships of life, it says, will, like a wind, blow the seed away. Maybe you're in that spot. Number three, he talks about the soil that has thorns in it. And whenever the seed takes root, and it's trying to grow, but it says then the plant gets choked out by the thorn. Some different thorns that can grow inside of our soil is just that inner pollution, that inner death. Perhaps it's pride. Maybe it's ambition. Maybe there's perversion. Maybe there's sexual perversion inside the soil. And whenever the word of God comes to you, it's like it just chokes it out. Perhaps there's massive anger issues that you just cannot get past. And not only does it impact you, it shifts and changes the culture of your home. Like then it becomes environmental. It becomes a toxic culture environment for others. It's not a greenhouse where it's lush, full of peace and calm, where there's just a steady moisture rain in the air. No, it's thorns and thistles. And even if you try to get yourself into the right places where the seed can get sown, what ends up happening is there's too much inner destruction and perversion and sin that wipes it out. That as soon as we walk out of here, we go back to the old man. It's an argument in the car on the way home from church. It's frustrated with the waitress at lunch after church, after we just talked about having patience. It really does happen that quickly. It happens in church because the line's too long, and we know that whoever, Becky, always wants to talk to the pastor for too long. And doesn't she know that he's got 150 hands to shake? What is she doing? And that's the fourth time we've all heard this story. What is she doing? All of that inner stuff, it just, the seed of patience and joy and being more like Jesus, it just gets suffocated quickly. He then talks about a fourth soil. He talks about some good soil, which understands, gladly receives, and then the seed just does what the seed does. The seed has, there's power in the seed. You don't even have to do anything. You just receive. And by faith, God, I don't even know it. I don't even understand it. But I'm just going to clean up the pollution in here. I'm just going to just start pulling out some weeds. I'm going to put up some screen blockers on my phone and on my computer. I'm just going to start cleaning the garden and start pulling these things out. I'm going to get some accountability with my emotions. And every emotion that comes my way, I own it. It does not own me. I'm going to get some checks and balances around my finances. I'm going to start getting some checks and balances and some accountability around my eating habits and my physical taking care and stewarding my body. Whatever all those things are, I'm just going to start cleaning this thing up. My body is a temple to the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to start getting sharp. I'm going to start cleaning the atmosphere of my home. And instead of getting so frustrated and be quick to be frustrated and just fly off the handle, I'm going to pull that weed out. And I'm going to start turning some soil. And I'm going to have to, start plowing up some hard ground. And say my response here is going to be joy. My response here is going to be patience. And we're going to start going in an opposite way to get that soil going. And I just can't help but believe that the fruit takes off. I remember playing baseball as a kid, and there was all different kinds of dirt that we would play on as kids. Some of it's just regular dirt. Some of it's like a dust dirt. Some of it was even like a brick dust. Did anybody ever play on brick dust baseball fields? How terrible was that? I hated to slide on brick dust. Man, it would just tear up your knees. It would tear up your elbows. But one of my favorites was after it would rain. And it would get soft, and the grass would get slippery, and you could dive and just slide across the grass. One time at my home when I was growing up, it had rained so much, and we had a barn out in the side of the yard that all of the water would just run off, and the barn kind of sat just a little bit, and it would collect all of this water. Well, whenever the water was always there, then that's whenever I wanted to run and dive and do my Pete Rose, head first, dive into home plate and just plow up all of this water and mud and covered head to toe. One time, I invited Brett Carey over. And Brett Carey came, and I've got a picture. This was 30 years ago. Check this out. Boomer, you remember that? I'm 10, and he's about 7. And it had rained so much, and there's so much water that by the time that we were done, we had peeled back. The ground was so soft, It had peeled back a layer of all of the grass and that topsoil, and it was just mud, man. And we are covered. Like, you can maybe see eyeballs and teeth right there, and we are covered and had the time of our life. Isn't it so much more fun when the ground is soft and subtle and watered and, oh, it's just an incredible different reality. Isn't it awesome to be married to somebody that's just a little softer and tender in the soil? Somebody has been through and done some work in their heart and plowed up and tilled some ground where they got their butt in men's group and then somebody took a rototiller to them. And ground it up, and you come out on the other side, man, becoming like the man of God, and you're showing up to women's group, and somebody's going to dive in there and start digging through it and flipping the soil and working it. You're in another week or two, you're going to start smelling Grant County and Madison County. It's going to come alive. The smell of that rich soil and that wet earth. Y'all know what I'm talking about, man? Why? Because they're about to plant some seed. It's being prepped. Something is about to happen. And if we want to see some fruit take place in our lives, you might have to do some groundwork. And it's hard. And it might take the right equipment, and might take the right men and women to come around you and start turning that stuff up. If you're not happy with your fruit, I would check your soil. The seed is fine. The seed, it's good seed. The issue is the soil able to produce the fruit that the seed has the power to do? It's an issue of the soil, is what we're after here. I'll wrap with this. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. It says, sow righteousness for yourself. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. One of my responsibilities as a father is to make sure that I am tending the garden of my home. And I'll tell my kids, I have a responsibility before God, not just to produce kids that are 18 and then move out of my house. I am responsible before God to raise a man of God. I'm responsible before God to raise a woman of God. And so then I've got to create and cultivate some soil that can receive the seeds, because when that heart gets hard, man, it will shut off. The Bible says this, that it's easier to win over a fortified city than it is to win over an offended heart of a brother. When that heart locks up, good luck. Ain't nothing coming into that hard heart. And to keep those hearts open. And so it might look like, as the Bible says, sowing a lot of good stuff and showering down. Maybe it looks like generosity. For me, it looks like a lot of play. When we're having fun and we're playing, we're creating a culture. And in sports, you're trying to create soil that the coach can sow stuff into. Because whenever those kids, whenever they get frustrated and ticked off, and usually the coach is an idiot and he doesn't understand, all the parents, they think that they're better coaches, and they want to blow the whistle, all that sort of stuff, it just gets hard. It makes it so hard when the heart starts getting that polluted stuff going on. And so I got to say, okay, we got to get some play. We got to get some generosity. We got to build some relationship. We got to start turning the soil here, because this is not working. Maybe in marriage, instead of just work, 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 maybe you need to date, date, date again. Maybe it's getting that romance thing back and getting that heart soft and opened again. Just know this, that there's really good seed that's being scattered, and I just don't want it choked out. We want it to produce some fruit in our lives. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and I want you to think, what is it, God? Which am I? Am I that hard path? Am I the rocky? Am I the thorny? Or am I that good soil? And then we're going to do this. I just want, just for a moment, if we can just do some quiet waiting. Just a little quiet, personal worship and reflection, and we're going to take that to the Lord and say, God, here's a couple of the thorns that I want to pull out of my soil. We're going to believe, God, that the seed's going to do something supernatural. Let's just pause just for a few moments here. Identify your soil. Ask the Lord to help. That's some good soil. Joy is a good soil. Now identify some thorns that you're going to pull out. Jesus, we're asking you that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the farmer, the great gardener, would go to work. We're asking you, Lord, that you would begin to till the soil in our heart. Pray that you would just bust up those hard places right now. God, we pray that you would just pour the water of forgiveness that softens man's heart. God, we're asking that you would begin to uproot those old sin patterns, those old lifeless things that are killing and destroying. God, we pray that you would make the soil in this house hungry, saturated, where good things grow. Lord, we thank you for the fruit. We thank you for the fruit. God, we pray that you would continue to enrich the soil by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grateful you were with us today. Be sure to subscribe and rate us so other people can know about the podcast. Join us on a Sunday morning in Fairmount or find our live stream on YouTube, our website, fairmountfriends.church, or our church app on Tithely. See you soon.